mercy and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 12. I read for you again these words. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. A wise theologian once said, "It's risky business to read the Scriptures." And today's gospel is an excellent reason why. It goes against our natural, our usual way of thinking about Jesus. You know, the soft and cuddly Jesus who loves children, carries sheep across his shoulders, smiles, speaks softly, and doesn't offend folks. The Jesus who speaks of peace and rest and forgiveness. In other words, the nice and gentle Jesus. That's why it sounds so shocking and wrong to hear the Prince of Peace say, "Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth, but division." It grates on our ears to hear such talk. And yet, it's true. For Jesus had come to earth to save sinners. And that was a dirty business. It was going to be bloody and messy. And it would bring division among people, because some would receive Jesus and his words, and others would not. Thus, our Lord Jesus speaks fiery and intense words. He doesn't hold anything back, not that he ever did. But he does say certain things to certain people in certain ways, all with the salvation of people foremost in view. And so Jesus begins, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." How frightening is that? After all, fire is a sign of judgment, especially God's end time judgment. And as we know, fire destroys. We've seen it in the California wildfires and maybe even in our own lives. And the results are devastating. And yet, fire also purifies. So, what is Jesus getting at here? Well, certainly when God took on human flesh, he did so for mankind's salvation. Jesus had come to bring healing in his wings. And yet, he also speaks words of law and judgment. God declares through Jeremiah that God's word is like fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Thus, Jesus speaks words to destroy our self-satisfied spirituality and our smug indifference to sin, especially our own. He wants us to be aware of the fiery eternity that awaits all who ignore, scorn, or reject what he says, and the great salvation he came to bring. Indeed, St. John writes, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, when Jesus returns in glory and judgment on the last day, he will judge the living and the dead. And for all who despise and reject him, for all who choose to live their lives their way instead of his, it will be the most frightening time of all. Yet, for us who are God's children, it will be a time of unbridled joy and gladness. Why? Because we have been baptized into Christ. And it's vital for us to learn ever more the depth of what that means. Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." Jesus is speaking of his impending suffering and death. You see, at his baptism by John, the sinless Son of God joined with us poor, miserable sinners as he took the sins of the world, our sins, your sins, upon himself, and he made them his own. What an unbearable burden! The Lamb of God became our scapegoat as our sins were laid on him. He willingly took all your sins away to the cross, where he suffered unimaginable agony as he suffered the fullness of God's wrath over them. Though he was fully God, Jesus was also fully man. He knew hunger and thirst, pain and suffering, rejection by most, and abandonment by his closest friends. Thus, this is the way of the cross, this baptism of suffering that Jesus was undergoing was no walk in the park. Indeed, it hurt to a level deeper than we will likely ever know. "How great is my distress!" he cries out. He's under the most extreme pressure possible as he bore the sins of the world under God's righteous judgment. Indeed, the experience, the stress was so great that when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And because his Father's will would be done, Jesus' baptism would be accomplished, completed, and brought to its completion. He would reach the goal for which he was aiming. He would finish his course. Thus, when he cries from the cross, "It is finished," he declares that he has accomplished the purpose for which he'd been sent. For on the cross, Jesus' baptism of suffering was completed. His mission of taking up and taking away our sin was accomplished. The victory was total. The triumph, complete. Sin, death, and hell were vanquished. Forgiveness, life, and salvation were won for you. Jesus' baptism of suffering means your baptism from death to life. For in your baptism, you were joined to Christ and his baptism of suffering and death. The Holy Cross was signed onto you as you were marked as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Now, you belong to God and His family, the church. Now, you are an heir of heaven, for you will share in Christ's resurrection. Now, by faith in Christ, your life is different from the hell-bent course of the world around us. And that makes all the difference in your life, now and for eternity. And being different from the world, having a heavenly home, being the distinctive people of God in a hostile world, sets you apart. And it sets you at odds with those who don't like God and therefore don't like you. The lines of judgment are being drawn, the dividing lines. Jesus anticipates those dividing lines of faith and unbelief when he says, "Do you think that I have come to bring to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And you can see the truth in this. There has always been a division between God's people and those who were not. It was true in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. Thank God, you have been led by the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, the only one who can rescue you from the fire of God's end time judgment. But many others scorn Christ and deny the truth of His gospel. Some persecute God's children by various means. Others pervert the gospel by subtly watering down the true teaching of the faith and life that God would have us live. Still others, through their apathy, indifference, and neglect, say no to Christ. And these divisions also happen within the family. Jesus says, "From now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." To be sure, we do not want to hear such things. We want our families to be peaceful and nice without conflict and division. So, we won't confront our loved ones over their sin and call them to repentance because we'd rather that they like us. And yet, Jesus demands our all. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once observed, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." In your baptism, you were baptized into the death of Christ. You died to sin and were raised to a new and different life. And people around you may be threatened by that. They may sense that they too are being called to come and die, and they don't like it one bit. The old man of sin, living inside of every person, always finds that threatening. So you, as a flesh and blood reminder of that call to repentance, may well bear the brunt of that person's hatred of God. So don't be surprised when someone is offended by you, by your faith in Christ, even when you live it quietly, and don't try to jam religion down their throats. For in reality, they are offended by the cross and by Christ Himself. But as for you, dear Christians, hold tight. Cling closely to Christ and to His cross. Don't lose heart. Rather, take heart. Be encouraged today. And the reason you can take heart is that there has been a baptism that will sustain you and keep you safe. It was that distressing baptism of Jesus that he endured for you. His baptism of suffering is your baptism unto life. In Christ, you are safe and sound even in the midst of the fire. In him, you do have peace even in the midst of division. God grant to each of you his peace, comfort, and strength as you suffer division in this life because of him. For you are his dear child. He will protect you. He will see you through this veil of tears and deliver you at last to your heavenly home, where there will be peace and unending joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.